بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This is our 13th session for basic Arabic grammar. يعني the notes that are dealing with the grammatical rules found in Medina Book 1, Level 1 and المستوى الأول from the Medina program. And for the last few weeks we've been dealing with a few topics. I guess the last topic we dealt with was Shiba Jumla, right? يعني the prepositional phrase or adverbial phrase, and before that al-idafa, and before that prepositions and pronouns. So today, just quickly, يعني I would like to start with, well, we're going to take a new topic today that's a very brief topic, it's not a lot of detail, the feminine gender, and the notes concerning it are relatively brief, so يعني perhaps we'll يعني cover it today. But before doing that, I want to just take a few minutes to review what we covered in the last class, especially the Shibhu Jumla. And if there's any questions about Al-Idhafa, we can also look at that, or prepositions or pronouns. Okay, so as far as the Shibhu Jumla, Danny, can somebody just give me an idea? When we say Shibhu Jumla, what do we mean? What do we mean by Shibhu Jumla? Now, Mustafa. It's almost a phrase, almost a sentence, huh?
And you have two types.
And you have two types, uh-huh. Uh-huh. Two types, right? The one that's with a preposition and the one that's with an adverb, uh-huh. And the one that's with a preposition, what? Give me an example of that, somebody. Example of a prepositional phrase now. Fil bayti, meaning that we have a preposition like fi, and then we have a noun that became majrur due to the preposition, right? Fil bayti. This is a prepositional phrase. Any preposition, fi, ala, min, ila, any preposition followed by a noun that's the object of the preposition, the ism majrur, then this is a prepositional phrase. Okay, prepositional phrase mean a phrase, yani a yani combination of few words, two words or more, and it's not a complete sentence, nor it is a single individual word, but it's a combination of words, and it is composed of a preposition and a clear noun or a pronoun. A clear noun or a pronoun. Can somebody give me an example of a prepositional phrase using a pronoun? Using a pronoun. Preposition and a pronoun. Huh? Ilehi. Okay, ilehi. Yani ilehi. Okay, this is yani. We have this composed of what? Ila, that's a preposition, right? Ila. And then the pronoun who. Right? So we put them together, then you have the alif maksura being transformed into ya, right? When it's connected to something. And because of the ya, then the pronoun who becomes he. Yani hum becomes him. And huma becomes hima, like this, right? Okay, so this is a prepositional phrase with a pronoun, the pronoun who. The third person, masculine, singular. Who? Ilayhi, to him. So this is a prepositional phrase, right? Okay, what about adverbial phrase? Somebody give me an example of the other type of shibh jumla. Adverbial phrase. Now. Tahta as-sarir. Tahta as-sarir. Okay, tahta is an adverb, right? Dharf, tahta. And the noun that's following it is مُضَافُ إِلَيْهِ مَجْرُوَ مُضَافُ إِلَيْهِ مَجْرُوَ. Give me another example of a preposition, adverb, other than تَحْتَ, another adverb. Huh? مَعَهُ طيب. يعني meaning with him. Another one? Now? Fawqa sab'a samawat. Fawqa, right? Above. Tahta, below. In front of? What is in front of? Amama. Amama. And behind? Khalfa. Na'am. Okay, so an adverbial phrase, it's a combination of an adverb with another noun that is connected to it in idafa. Okay? And both of these types of phrases, the prepositional phrase and the adverbial phrase, have something in common. And that is that the noun that's connected to the preposition, yani that's following it, that's the object of the preposition, and the noun that is connected to the adverb, meaning that is mudhafun ilayh, both of them are majrur. Okay, walaikum salam. They're majrur for different reasons. Yani, fil bayti, al bayti is majrur because it's the object of the preposition. And tahta sariri, a sariri is majrur because it's mudhafun ilayhi, connected to the adverb, right? So these are examples of, yani, shibh jumla, the two types of shibh jumla. One type, prepositional phrase, the other type, adverbial phrase. Two types of shibh jumla. Shibh jumla meaning what? It's not a complete sentence. It's like resembling a sentence, but it doesn't quite become complete. So it's not an individual word, nor is it a complete sentence, but it's in between shibh jumla. It's of two types. Yani preposition and a noun following its object, or an adverb and a noun following it, mudhafun ilayh. Okay, so this is what we talked about in the last class. And before that, we talked about al-idhafa. And just briefly, yani just as a reminder to us, what is al-idhafa? Now, dukreen. A construct phrase. Okay, we're just talking about phrases, right? The shibh jumla is a phrase, right? It's two types. It's an adverbial phrase, prepositional phrase. Now we have a construct phrase. Construct phrase. Why is it called a construct phrase? Yani, what's the kind of meaning that we understand from this? Now, Mustafa. Yeah, because there are two parts in a relationship. It's as though you're constructing something new from two separate individual parts. You're making a new construction. You're building a phrase. You're constructing it from two parts. And you're putting them together according to certain rules and regulations. And what are some of the rules related to the construct phrase? Well, first, an example. What is an example of a construct phrase? Construct phrase. Give me an example of one. Huh? Bait. Al-imami? Huh? I'm sorry. Yeah. Imam. Bayt al-imami. Okay, this is a construct phrase. There are two parts, we constructed them together. Okay? What are some of the rules of the construct phrase? Quickly, one. Naam, Abdurrahman.
The first part, not take alif lam.
Okay, the first part, which is called al-mudaf, it does not take alif lam nor tanween. Uh-huh. Another rule. Now, Abdul Karim. The mudhafun ilayh takes either alif lam, has here, or if it doesn't have alif lam, then tanween. The mudhafun ilayh takes either alif lam or tanween. Other rule. Now,
the
mudhaf can have any case ending. It can be marfu'un with dhamma. Can be majroor with kasra, it can be mansoob with fatah. It can have any case ending depending on its position in the sentence. What is its function? Is it the subject? Is it the predicate? Is it the yani object of a preposition? Is it the object of a verb? Depending on its function in the sentence, it can take any case ending. And last rule that we want to mention? Naam, Abdul Halim. That the mudhaf is definite by position or indefinite by position, meaning that its connection or relation to the mudhafun ilayhi will determine whether it will be definite or indefinite. If the mudhafun ilayhi is definite, it becomes definite because of that. And if it is indefinite, it becomes indefinite because of the mudhafun ilayhi. There's one more thing that I wanted to mention in reference to the i'rab of the mudhafun ilayhi. Naam, Faiz. Naam, the mudhafun ilayh is always majroor. Okay, we said that the mudhaf, it can be majroor or marfoon or mansoob, any case ending, but the mudhafun ilayh is always majroor. That's why we say that when we have an idafa construction, we say that this word is mudaf, and we say that it's marfoon or mansoob or majroor, depending on its position in the sentence, and we say this word is mudafun ilayhi majroor. Mudafun ilayhi majroor. Okay, and the sign that it's majroor, the primary sign of being majroor, of any word being majroor, is kasra. But there are secondary signs that we maybe have talked about a little bit and we'll talk about in the future. Okay, so this is a quick review of al-idafa. You have something? Okay, if there's a not describing the mudaf or mudaf and ilay, it doesn't come in between them. Nothing comes in between them. It has to come at the end. No matter which one is describing, it has to come at the end. Okay, so this is a quick review of what we covered last week or in the last couple of weeks. And I like to review a little bit at least to begin the class, just so that we get warmed up and we wake up and we get, you know, in tune for what we are about to do today. Perhaps it's still early for some of us, you know. Unfortunately, it's not early for me. I've been up since, I don't know, a whole full day already. But anyway, if you're just getting started, then this is like a warm-up, okay? So let's get warmed up and get ready, get our minds focused on the new subject for today. Faiz. You said the if you have the expression min hu. Why is it min hu and not min he? Okay. Yani, because in other words, since this is a preposition, then the word following it should be majrur with kasra. Okay. Who can answer this question simply? Very, very simply. Naam, Abdul Karim. Okay, because the attached pronoun, they are fixed, meaning they are mabniyun. They are fixed. They don't change. We don't say that it's majroor or mansoob or marfoon. It's mabniyun. Pronouns are mabniyun. They are fixed. Okay, so we don't say that because this pronoun is following a preposition, so we make the ending kasra. Rather, who remains who all the time. Ka remains ka all the time. Huh? Ki remains ki all the time. If it's following a preposition or the object of a verb or anything, it always remains ki. Okay, so the pronouns are fixed. If they have a fatha, it remains fatha all the time. If they have a kasra, it remains kasra all the time. If they have a dhamma, it remains dhamma all the time. They're fixed, that's why. Okay, but if it was a clear noun, then yes, the word following a preposition, a clear noun, then it's mu'rab. So it changes from marfoon to mansoob to majroor, so it would take a sign that indicates it's majroor, for example, a kasra. But not pronouns. Pronouns are mabniyun, they're fixed. Okay, whatever the vowel is, it remains the same. Except in the case like this here, this dhamma became kasra not because of the preposition. It became kasra because of the pronunciation. Because the pronoun who and whom and huma, whenever they are preceded by a kasra or ya with sukoon. For pronunciation, they pronounce it like kasra. Not because of the preposition. It's not because of a preposition. It's because of kasra. Because any word that's before that pronoun that has kasra or ya with sukoon is going to change it to kasra. Not because it's a preposition. That's for pronunciation only. Okay, so this is like quick review of what we covered. And I want to remind us all that reviewing is a very important part of learning. Okay? And perhaps you have noticed that when we review what we had last week or the week before, sometimes you forgot a little bit of it. Maybe you noticed that. Sometimes you forgot a little bit of it. We just talked about it last week or 2 weeks ago, but you forgot some things. You're not going to retain everything. And that's the benefit of the review. It helps you to retain the information that you have already made an effort and worked at learning. But if you don't review it, you lose all that. You lose all of that if you don't review it. And it's like if you give your money to the criminal, unprincipled, dishonest people, and you leave it with them for a long time, you'll lose it. You leave it too long, you can't come back for it. They'll tell you, I don't know you. Where you come from? Huh? That's those kind of people, not the Muslims. The Muslims, you can come back 20 years later and they have it for you, right? The people who fear Allah. Naam. When we say Muslims, we mean the people who are really worshipping Allah. We don't mean the people who just happen to have Muslim names and come from Muslim countries or something like this. Yeah, I'm using it in the general sense because the mu'min, the Muslim is a mu'min and the mu'min is a Muslim. But there's some distinction between these words if they're used together. But when they're used separately, mu'min means Muslim and Muslim means mu'min. When they're used separately. So when I just say Muslim by itself, then I mean now. But if I say mu'min and Muslim, then now they have their special meanings, right? Fine. In any case, our topic today is Mu'annath, page 18. Yes. Can the mudaf take tanween? No.
Okay, like this one in Quran chapter 85, verse 2.
Shahid wa mashhud. Now, what about it?
Is it correct to have?
Yeah, it's correct. Yeah, if you got it out of the Quran, it's correct. Okay, he's saying wa shahidin wa mashhud. Okay? وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ. He says, is this correct to have tanween here? Yes. This doesn't have alif lam. Yani, so, nouns, generally speaking, unless it's a special category like ممنوع من الصرف, nouns, generally speaking, they take alif lam or tanween. If they have alif lam, they don't take tanween. But if they don't have alif lam, then they take tanween. So it's correct. There's no alif lam here, so it takes tanween. As far as this word here, same thing, it doesn't have alif lam, so it has tanween. It's correct. It's not idafa. This is not idaf, mudaf. This is one word that's connected to another word by a conjunction. This is atf. Okay, so that means this and that. They are not connected together in idafa. So it's correct now. Alright, our topic today is dealing with the feminine gender. On page 18, there's some brief notes here. And since this is, as I always say, this is a review, right? This is like what we already studied before. So, we're not going to spend a lot of time with it. But if you have questions about the feminine gender, today is the time to ask, okay? And we're going to cover a little bit of what, should be covered here. And maybe there's a couple of points here that we may not have, focused on before. So you might pick up something here that you might have missed before or you might not be aware of. Okay, so let's look on page 18, feminine gender. It says, Al-Mu'annath, Al-Mu'annath. Yani the feminine gender. The opposite of it is what? The opposite of Mu'annath? Al-Mu'dhakkar, Al-Mu'dhakkar. Okay, so we say then in Arabic, nouns are all either Mu'dhakkar or Mu'annath. No in between. Everything is either masculine or feminine. Yani naturally masculine or feminine, meaning physically from the feminine gender or masculine gender, or masculine or feminine in meaning. Yani the Arabs, they have placed the meaning of something being feminine, even though it's not physically feminine. Yani it's not a female human being or female creature or female whatever that gives birth to children. No. But they have classified it as feminine. So that's not feminine naturally, physically, but it's feminine in meaning, right? So everything in Arabic is either masculine or feminine. And everything in the creation is either classified in Arabic language under yani mudhakkar or mu'annath. Alright? So today we're going to talk about the mu'annath. First thing, On the top of the page, after the title, it says A. And we have A, B, C, and D. By the way, on the bottom of the page, it says all the nouns that do not fall into these categories are masculine. You may also say that all the nouns are masculine except that they belong to these categories. So at the bottom, they're telling us that they're giving us four categories here, A, B, C, and D, and all nouns that do not fall in these categories are masculine. So anything that doesn't fall under these four categories, then it's masculine. Okay, so there are four categories of words that are feminine. And anything that doesn't fall under these categories is masculine. Good? So what are the four categories? First category, A, says, the usual feminine ending, as said in the first lesson, is closed ta, yani at-ta al-marbuta. At-ta al-marbuta. Ta al-marbuta, closed ta, sometimes referred to as feminine ta, and other different names that they give to it. At-ta al-marbuta. Yani, what do we mean by ta al-marbuta? Well, there are two ta's, right? There's this ta, the regular one that we learned first in the beginning of the alphabet, alif, ba, ta. And then there's this one that we took later on. This one is called the open ta. It's open. Maftuha. And this one is called the closed ta, because it's closed. Alright? So this closed ta, they're saying here about the closed ta, at-ta'u al-marbuta, that this is the usual feminine ending. Meaning, most words that are feminine have this ending. Okay? The indication that a noun or an adjective is feminine comes at the end of it. Comes at the end of the word. And this is the most common indication that a word is feminine, that it ends with ta or marbuta. Alright? So when you see a ta marbuta, most likely that word is going to be a feminine word. Although there are some words that are feminine, yani in terms of the ending of the word, it appears to have the feminine ending, however, it's used for something masculine, like some proper nouns, right? Some names of men, like what? Usama, Hamzatu, Khalifa, Muawiyah, and like this, right? These are names that are actually names of men, but they have the feminine ending. But for the most part, nouns that end with ta al-marbuta, they are feminine. Okay, this is the most common ending to indicate that a word is feminine. So we're saying here, the usual, yani most common feminine ending, as said in lesson 1, is ta, at-ta al-marbuta. For example, Fatimatu, yani ends with ta al-marbuta. It's a feminine proper noun, name of a female. Baqaratun, a cow. Yani the word in Arabic for cow is baqaratun. And it ends with ta al-marbuta, so it is feminine. And then there's qaryatun, a village. And it also ends with ta al-marbuta. And then there's salamatun, meaning safety or security, that ends with ta al-marbuta. So these are different types of words. Yani safety is different than village, different than cow, different than Fatima. Fatima is a proper noun of a female. Cow is the yani common noun for a certain animal. Village is the type of place, right, that you describe a locality. It's called a village. It's maybe not a city. It's not a country. And it's a village. And then there's safety. What is that? Safety. That's like a concept, right? The concept of safety. So these are different types of words, all of them ending with ta marbuta, all of them being feminine. Yani safety, the concept of safety in Arabic, the word for it is salama. It's feminine. Safety is feminine. Village is feminine. The cow is feminine. And of course, yani, women are feminine, right? That's khalas. Except in America. They might be freaks. A'udhu billah. These people are really shaitanic. They make men women and women men. Yeah, he's not satisfied. They got enough men. They already have men. They don't need to make new men from women. They have a lot of men already. And then after they make the women into men, then they need more women, so they change men to women. Allahu musta'an. This is real insanity. May Allah save us from this. May Allah save us from this. However, yani most words that are feminine end with ta marbuta. However, two feminine nouns have a long ta, the open ta, a ta al maftuha. Have this one. There are two feminine nouns that have open ta instead of closed ta at the end of them. And they are ukhtun and bintun. Ukhtun and bintun. Okay, so the first category is what? Nouns that end with ta marbuta. Second category, B. The second feminine ending is known as alif maqsura. Yani, alif at-ta'anith al-maqsura. Alif at-ta'anith al-maqsura is the full name of it. Yani, for sure, we're saying alif maqsura. But we're talking about alif at-ta'anith, the alif that's indicating femininity. But it's the short alif, al-maqsura. Alright? As opposed to alif at-ta'anith al-mamduda. Okay, so there's the alif that indicates ta'anith that is maqsur. It's this one written like a ya without its dots. And then there's another alif that indicates ta'anith that's written like this. It also indicates femininity, but it's mamduda. This one maqsura, the short one, and this one mamduda, the long one. Alright, so these are both alif. Alif maqsura, alif mamduda, both of them are alif. And both of them are used at the end of a word to indicate femininity. These are also signs of a noun being feminine, in addition to ta'a marbuta. But they're not as common as ta'a marbuta, but they're also signs of femininity. Except that this one should be followed by hamza, hamza til qat. Alright? And we'll see some examples of this. Alright, so the second category that we're looking at is alif. Alif at ta'anith. The alif that indicates that something is mu'annath, feminine. The alif maqsura. Alif that looks like a ya, but it doesn't have the two dots of ya. And it's also distinguished from ya in another thing that we learned in the primer, first beginning elementary Arabic. What is the other distinction between alif maqsura and ya? Yani, one difference is that alif maqsura doesn't have the dots of ya. And there's another difference, huh? It always comes at the end. Alif maqsura can only be the last letter of the word. As far as ya, it can be in the beginning, it can be in the middle, it can be in the end, right? So it's a different, it looks like ya, but it's not ya. It's alif. It's pronounced just like this alif. They're just written in a different form due to the root that they come from in Arabic language. The second feminine ending is known as alif maqsura. Alif at-ta'anith al-maqsura. The short alif, which is, yani, like a ya, but it's pronounced like For example, in the words Salma and Layla. For example, in the words, the names Salma and Layla. And both of them end with alif maqsura. That alif which indicates femininity. Alif at-ta'anith al-maqsura. So these are words that have a feminine ending. Not ta'ramabuta, but it's also a feminine ending. And this is the second category of words that are feminine. They gave us, yani, these two names of women, Salma and Layla, and then they gave us Sugra and Kubra. And they also end with alif maqsura. And in the first two cases, we see the alif maqsura is connected. And in the last two cases, we see the alif maqsura is not connected. And only because what? Because the letter before it is a non-connector. Doesn't connect to anything following it, right? Otherwise, it's the same. They're both alif maqsura. They're pronounced the same way. Sugra means smaller or smallest. And kubra means greater, larger, or the biggest. Alif maqsura is always preceded by fatha. That's another point. Alif maqsura is always preceded by fatha. Whereas ya, it can be preceded by a fatha. It can be preceded by kasra. Actually, in some rare cases, even preceded by dhamma. But it's not that common. Now, Okay, this is the second example. I mean, the second group of feminine nouns that have a feminine ending other than ta marbuta. The third example is the third feminine ending, or the third group, I mean, is called alif mamduda. Yani alif at-ta'anith al-mamduda. The long alif, which is hamza preceded by alif. Yani hamza, the alif mamduda followed by hamza, hamza tilqat. The hamza that's preceded by alif. For example, in the word asma'u, asma'u. For example, in the word or the name asma'u. Okay, it's hamza tilqat preceded by alif mamduda. And this is the name of a woman. And then there's amya'u. Amya'u, which means yani a blind person, but it's feminine. Amya'u, a blind woman, a blind female. And then there's hasna'u, a beautiful woman. Yani hasna being the plural of hasan, right? Hasan, hasna'u, yani in these four words or three words, asma'u, amya'u, and hasna'u, we see that all of them end with the hamzatul qat that's preceded by alif mamduda. So this alif mamduda, yani it is called alif at-ta'anith al-mamduda. It is one of the feminine endings of a word, indicates that a word is feminine. So we have three yani groups now. We have the most common feminine ending, which is ta marbuta, and then we have yani less common yani alif at-ta'anith al-maqsura, and then we have alif at-ta'anith al-mamduda. These are three categories of words that are feminine. Three categories. In the last category, it says D, there are, however, feminine nouns that do not have any of these endings. And it does not end with ta marbuta, nor alif maksura or mamduda. They may be classified in the following categories. Okay, this last group may be classified into the following categories. Names of women, females, parts of the body that are double or in pairs, names of towns and countries, and some everyday words. Yani that there's no real classification for them, just like some other words. Alright? So in other words, what they're saying here is that there's another whole group of words that are feminine, but they don't have any clear feminine ending. They don't end with Tarmabuta, nor Alif Mamduda, nor Alif Maksura. But these words are feminine. Now they try to classify them into groups. So from amongst those groups is number one, what? Names of women. Yani they are names of women, proper nouns, feminine proper nouns, that don't have any feminine ending. But they are feminine, right? Automatically, because they are the names of women. So even though they don't have any indication of their femininity, you know that if you see the word Maryam, or Hind, or Zainab, you know that these are names of women, so they are feminine. So they are names of women that don't have any feminine ending, but they are feminine, female proper nouns, so we know that these are all, yani from this group, words that are feminine without any indication. The second group are females. Females meaning, yani, mother. Yani the word mother, yani, can only be used for a female, right? It doesn't have any feminine ending. It's not a name of a person, a proper noun, but it's a common noun, mother. Okay, it's common to every female that has children, or had children, right? Mother. So it's a female. Mother is a word that's used for a female, automatically. There's no discussion about it. There's no sign of it being feminine, but that's automatic. So this is a group, yani group of words that are used for females only. They are used for females only. They are not proper nouns. They are common nouns that are used for females, and they don't have any feminine ending. This is another group. So they gave us a couple of examples here, and then I'll take your question. They have ummun, mother, arusun, bride, and atanun, yani a female donkey. Huh? Ummun, that's only used for females. Arusun, yani the woman who has gotten married, the arus, getting married, the bride. And then there's Atanun, a female donkey. So these are words in Arabic that are feminine, and they are used for females. Human or animal, they are used for females. And therefore, yani, they're automatically feminine even though there's no sign. Naam, Adam, you have a question?
No.
Come back to what?
Hindun.
Hindun, naam. And the what?
Hinadun.
Hinadun? Oh, Hina, okay.
Yes.
Hinadun.
And in the class, I don't forget to say that only masculine pronouns are used.
No, there are exceptions, of course. There are exceptions. We even talked about some of the exceptions, but maybe it was a while ago. Sometimes I'm not seeing this stuff well, but I didn't even notice that there's a fatha there. I didn't notice the fatha in this word here. And I read it as Hindun, and Allahu A'lam, yani if it's actually Hindun. But I didn't notice the fatha there. But in any case, as far as the tanween, we said that masculine proper nouns take tanween. And feminine proper nouns do not take tanween. That's our general rule. But we said that there are exceptions, right? We said that there are masculine proper nouns that don't take tanween. Like those masculine proper nouns that end with ta marbuta. They don't take tanween. And likewise, there are yani other names that may take tanween even though they are not masculine proper nouns. There are some exceptions to this. Especially if a name has only any three letters, it's triliteral, and it is having sukoon on the middle letter. And that's why I read this word as hind, which is probably what it is. Maybe it's a typing error. Yeah, and we said that these words also yani take a tanween. They take tanween. Okay, in any case, this is the second category. Yani, those words that are used exclusively for females. And even though they don't have any feminine ending, they are feminine. The third group is parts of the body that are double or in pairs. Parts of the body that are double or in pairs. There are two of them. Like aynun, which means an eye. Yedun, a hand. Udhunun, an ear. Dhira'un, the arm or the forearm. Rijlun means foot or leg. And saqun, which means the shank. Or this part of the leg. What is there another word for this? The calf? Maybe.
The calf is a big
hack. No, yeah, I think it's just this whole part here. Yeah. Shank. Five. So, what are we saying here? We're saying that, generally speaking, the parts of the body that are in pairs, there are two of them, two hands, two eyes, two ears like this, two feet, two legs, then the parts of the body that are in pairs, are feminine, even though there's no feminine ending on them. And then the opposite also is true. Generally speaking, parts of the body that are singular, only one of them, then they are masculine. So this is a third group from our last category of feminine nouns, meaning words that don't have any feminine ending, but they are feminine. From amongst them are names of women, from amongst them are females, from amongst them are parts of the body that are double. And the fourth group that they gave us under this general category are names of towns and countries like Misr, yani the name of Egypt, the actual name of Egypt, Surya, yani Syria, and Al Hind, yani India. Under the last category of feminine nouns are some everyday words, and then they gave us a lot of words, perhaps. And we can say from amongst them the word rihun, which means wind. And then there's narun, fire. And darun, house. And harbun, war. Shamsun, sun. Samaun, sky. Tariqun, way or path. Nafsun, soul. And ardun, earth. Okay, so in summary, we can say then, and there's much more that we can say about Yani, the feminine gender, but Yani, this is the summary that they gave us here, that the feminine nouns are grouped into four categories. Yani, three categories of nouns that have feminine endings. Yani, they end with a sign that indicates that they're feminine, and the most common of them is Taramabuta, and the other two are Alif Maksur and Alif Mamduda. Yani, the Alif Mamduda, that's followed by Hamzatul Qat. Okay, when I say Hamzatul Qat, what do I mean? Why am I saying Hamzatul Qat? And is there some other kind of Hamza? Hamzatul Wasl. Naam, Hamzatul Wasl. And the difference between them is not only in the way they are written, that Hamzatul Qat is written like this with this symbol, and Hamzatul Wasl, if anything is written, it's just the main part of the letter Saad, like a small letter Saad without its complete form. Yani, not only in the way that they're written, but also, yani, they are different in nature, in that Hamzatul Qat is an original, integral part of the word. It must be written. You must, in a word that has Hamzatul Qat, you have to write this Hamza. You have to write it. And you have to pronounce it. And it's a glottal stop, meaning you have to have a break in the word. Like, you can't say, in this word here, for example, you can't say, in this word you say, Sama'un, right? But if this was Hamza here, Yani, you can't say, Sama'un. You have to say, Sama'un. You have to say, Sama'a. You have to break, a short break in order to pronounce the Hamza. Yani, you close the air passage and then you reopen it and you say, Ah, O. E, okay? So sometimes people, they see a word like this, and they just say, okay, you know, we can make it long and just say, Sama. But if there's Hamza, then you have to make a break there, okay? Hamza means, yani, that there's a stop, a glottal stop. You close the air passage, and then you open it and pronounce, A, E, O. Alright, so this is Hamzatul Qat. And Hamzatul Wasl is only a Hamza, yani, that we add at the beginning of a word in order to pronounce it. Yani, words that originally begin with sukoon. Words that originally begin with sukoon, we can't pronounce a word beginning with sukoon, so we add Hamzatul Wasl. And the vowel that it takes, Fatha, Kasr, or Dhamma, is dependent on what kind of word it is. Okay, so these are the three categories of feminine nouns that have feminine endings, and then there's a fourth category, that is feminine words of different types that have no feminine ending or indication, but yet they're also feminine. And then they gave us different groups of them. And finally they gave us a group that's not really a group, rather it's just a lot of different words that are feminine. Okay, you have to learn them, you have to memorize them and know that they are feminine. Okay, there also we can say something else about the feminine gender here in reference to ta marbuta. Generally speaking, adjectives can be made feminine by just adding ta marbuta. So if you say something is big, huwa kabirun, and you want to use the same adjective to describe something that is feminine, then you just add tarmabuta and you say kabiratun. Saghirun, you say what? Saghiratun. Karimun, karimatun. Azizun, azizatun, like this. Okay? So we know that adjectives can be made feminine by just adding tarmabuta to the masculine form of the word. Alright, but these, what we're talking about here today, we're talking about words that are feminine. Not made feminine, but they're actually feminine words. Okay, either they have tarmabuta or they have one of the other signs of femininity, or they have no sign, and those words you just have to memorize. Any question? Any question? Okay, so also in reference to the feminine gender then, not in our notes here, but also in reference to the, oh, and by the way, at the end, what I read in the beginning is that words that are not from any of these categories, then the rest of the words in Arabic language are masculine, other than from these categories. But, yani, that doesn't really help us a lot. Because the last category, right, they don't have any signs, right? So, yani, they could come under that category. Yani, don't assume that every word that doesn't have a feminine ending is automatically masculine, because maybe it comes under the fourth group. Plurals of ghayra akil, nouns. Noun. No, plurals of ghayra aqil nouns are not feminine, but we treat them as though they are feminine singular. We treat them as though they are feminine singular. They are not feminine, they are not singular, but we treat them as though they are feminine singular. Okay, this is another topic that we need to look at in detail. Perhaps we will look at it in detail, although I don't think it came in these notes. They missed a couple of points that were very important in Medina Book 1, and this looks like it's one of them. But inshallah, we'll look at it. In any case, as you have brought it up, we'll just say, yani just as a point of clarification, that plurals for nouns that are غير عاقل are treated as though they are feminine and as though they are singular. Okay, what do we mean by غير عاقل? What does that mean? And we say plurals of nouns that are غير عاقل. What does that mean?
Irrational.
Irrational. Huh? Non what? Okay, non-human. Huh? Yeah. All right. So we mean that, yani, nouns. We said that today. We said that nouns are either masculine or feminine, right?
Right.
And then we also can add to that that they are either rational or irrational. They are rational or irrational. And under rational, we mean, yani, humans, angels, and jinn. Naam. And under irrational, non-rational, then it includes animals and yani inanimate things. Okay? So, this is a topic that we need to talk about in detail, but today is not the time for it. But anyway, since he brought up, I'll just say that yani nouns that come under the category of غير عاقل, irrational, not human, yani non-animals or yani inanimate things, then the plurals of those kind of nouns, plurals of them, like houses, books, stones, trees, or horses, right? The plurals of those kind of words, plurals of غيرو عاقل, are treated as though they are feminine singular. We treat them like they are feminine, and we treat them like they are singular. So that means if we have an adjective describing them, the adjective should be feminine singular. If we have an ism ishara, demonstrative pronoun, pointing to them, we use the feminine singular, hadihi or tilka. Okay? If we have a verb, that they are the fa'il, do of the action of, the verb should be in the feminine singular form. And so on, like this. Okay, that's what the brother is yani bringing out, pointing out here at this particular moment. And the point is that these types of words, they are not feminine, but they are treated as though they are feminine, even though they may not be feminine. Some of them are feminine, some of them are not. And they are treated as though they are singular, even though these are plural words. Alright? Okay, so that being said, this is the end of our topic. Yani, as I said, it's just brief notes dealing with the feminine gender. And primarily, it's just how to identify words that are feminine. Because yani, you must know that something is masculine or feminine, because when you start yani dealing with it, yani use the ism ishara, using a not or something else, a verb, a pronoun that goes back to it, the pronoun, we have to use the feminine singular pronoun. So even though that thing is plural, but we have to use feminine singular pronoun. Huh? Is there any way we could call somebody?
I tried
calling the
man because
where is it? Hey, there's no, any, we don't know a plumber? Yeah, we have to pay for it, whatever. Just tell us what it costs. Inshallah. Jazakallah khair. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. Okay. Yeah. Jannah? It ends with Tarmabut, right? Yeah. And there's yani about 10 times more words that are masculine. No. I mean, there are lots of things that are feminine that we don't see why they're feminine. And there are lots of things that are masculine, we also don't see why they're masculine. I mean, bait is masculine, right? Dars is masculine. Yani, naam. Yeah? What about it? I don't think so. That's what I think, yeah. Allahu A'lam. Yeah, I'm not sure. All right, we still have a few minutes, okay? Was there a question about about the subject? Okay, then let me just say that, we'll take a few minutes and then we'll break for salat. And the next topic in the book that we want to deal with today is adjectives. And this is a big topic and a fundamental topic that's very, very important. And there are some details to it that we'll have to add. And because there's really only examples are giving here. Only examples. So before we break for salat, I want to introduce this topic and mention some of the things that we should know about adjectives. Hopefully, and we remember most of them, if not all of them. Okay, so there are some very important matters related to adjectives. Okay, first, yani the word for adjective is what? The word for adjective is not. Not. Or sifatun. Natun or sifatun. Okay? And this adjective is what? It's a word that, yani adjective is a technical, yani grammatical term in English, right? What is an adjective? Maybe, yani we don't remember from school, especially if we went to school 40 or 50 years ago, right? We might not remember. What is the adjective? What is the adjective?
It describes,
huh?
It describes something.
It describes something, huh? What else? Describes something, okay. I thought maybe somebody was saying something else. Okay, adjective is a word, yani, that describes a noun. Describes another noun, right? It describes a noun. It gives us a description. It qualifies it. Yani, it gives us some clarification about another word, right? About another noun. In Arabic, unlike in English, the adjective, the na'at or the sifa, comes after the noun that it is describing. Comes after it. In English, it comes first, right? The adjective comes first. And then, after you mention the big, yani, if the person pours, then you will be left hanging, right? Big what? We don't know. But in Arabic, yani, we bring it in the correct order. We mention the topic that we want to talk about, and then we start describing yani what we want to say about it. Okay? So just remember that the adjective, it comes after the word that it is describing. Okay? So the word that it's describing is called what? The word that it's describing is called the man'ut. Man'ut. Or mausuf. Sifatun wa mausufun. Na'atun wa man'utun. Notice that these two words, man'ut and mausuf, are in the pattern of wazn of, huh? What is the wazn for this word, man'ut? Huh? Maf'ul. Maf'ul. Naam. Both of them in the same wazn. Maf'ul. Yani man'ut mawsuf. Ala wazn maf'ul. So the na'at is the describing word, the adjective, and the man'ut or the mawsuf is the one that's being described or qualified. The na'at follows the man'ut. First comes the man'ut and then the description of it comes, okay? And from the rules of na'at and man'ut are that the na'at not only does it follow the man'ut in order in the sentence, the not follows the man'ut in the order in the sentence, you say, Baytun kabirun. Kabirun is following bait, huh? In the order of the sentence, but it also has to follow it in four important matters. The first of them being
gender,
yani masculinity or femininity. That means that if the man'ut is masculine, then the not also has to be masculine. Gender, yani being masculine or feminine. The second of them, definite and indefiniteness. Definite or indefiniteness. Yani meaning, if the man'ut is definite, then the not also has to be definite. If the man'ut is indefinite, then the not also has to be indefinite. Third thing. Okay, in number. Meaning, is it going to be singular? Dual, or plural? Singular, dual, or plural? In number? And the last of them is what? Arab. Now, case ending. Okay, in number we mean, for example, if the man'ut is singular, then the not has to be singular. If the man'ut is dual, then the not describing also has to be dual. If you say baytani, you can't say baytani kabirun. Baytani kabirani. Okay? If the man'ut is plural, then the not describing it also has to be plural. Unless, yani it's a plural for غير عاقل that we alluded to earlier. Yarhamukallah. As far as in case ending or i'rab, we mean that the man'ut, if it is marfu'un, then the not also has to be marfu'un. If it is mansub, it has to be mansub. If it's majrur, it has to be majrur with it. So we say, fil bayti al-kabiru. It's wrong, right? Bayti, majrur, al-kabiri has to also be majrur. Like this, alright? So these are four things that are very, very important to the relation between not and man'ut. That the not is following the man'ut in order in the sentence and is following it in these critical matters. Yani, meaning in reference to the being masculine or feminine, the gender, in reference to being definite or indefinite, in reference to the number, singular, dual, or plural, and in reference to the case ending, whether it is marfu'un or majrurun or mansubun. Any question about these four matters? What they are, what they mean, or examples? Yani, ask a question if you have a question, please. Yani, you will benefit yourself and benefit somebody else who may have the same question, but some of us, we don't ask questions in public. So somebody else has to give some charity and ask the question. Now, sadaqah, inshallah, will be written down for you. Bi-idhnillah, inshallah, if somebody else benefits, it will be a sadaqah. Now. The man'ut. What are you saying? What's the meaning of what you're saying?
The big house.
The new house,
I'm
saying. Okay.
Al-Jadid.
I said
Jadid, so I'm going to use the same word. Al-Baytu
al-Jadidu.
Now, in relation to the Na'at and the man'ut, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, now in this sentence here, they both definite, right? So the, you know that the bait can be man'ut, right?
Al-Baytu al-Jadidu. Al-Baytu Al-Jadidu. Okay, so Al-Bayt is the man'ut, yes. That's the word that is being going to be described. Uh-huh. Al-Jadidu is the na'at, describing it. Yeah, in other words, you want to change the sentence and make it into a mubtada and a khabar?
Yes. You see the difference in how that changes. So they are very similar, but there's a difference in it.
Right. Okay, now we have al-baytu jadidun. Okay, the only thing that I want to say about this, so as not to confuse anybody, really the matter is simple, and it's not essential that a person can explain what's the difference between them. But if you want to explain the difference, it's very simple. The difference is that in this construction here, we have a mubtada and no khabar. We don't have a sentence. We just have the new house. What about it? We don't have any khabar. Here, we have a mubtada and a khabar. That's a complete sentence. That's the difference. Yani, when you have a na'at describing a man'ut, that's the mubtada, you don't have a sentence. But when you have a khabar following a mubtada, you have a sentence. So here, in this case, this is a khabar. And in this case, this is a na'at. Okay? The indication that this is not a na'at is that it doesn't agree with the man'ut in those four, in all of those things. It has to agree with them in all of them. And the first one it doesn't agree with, it's not, this is definite, this is not definite. So we know that it's not a not. Because it doesn't agree with it in everything. Okay, it might agree in being masculine, it might agree in being singular, it might agree in being marfu'un, but guess what? It has to agree in all four. It's not definite, so this is not a not. That's a khabar, khalas. Yani whoever can understand that, without going into a lot of detail and complication and philosophy and get you confused, just understand that when you see two words and both of them are being used in a similar fashion to tell us something about one of them telling us something about the other one. They're being used in a similar fashion. Yani this is a khabar telling us something about bait, and this is a not describing bait. So they're being used in a similar fashion. But this is a not and this is a khabar. They're not the same. What's the difference? A khabar makes the sentence complete, a not doesn't. That's it. Khalas.
So now
that's it. If you understand that, really, there shouldn't be no confusion.
So now we need another word.
You have no khabar. So if you want to make a sentence, you have to put another word here.
Now we need to make that complete. Then,
you can make it complete by saying,
right.
Al-Baytu
right.
Al-Jadidu. He wants to say Jameel. Jameelun.
Right.
Jameel. Okay, now we have a sentence. Okay? So that's the difference, really. So, you know, yani, just try to keep in mind. A not, yani, it has a function. A khabar has a function. Though they may be similar, but they're not the same. A khabar completes a sentence, a not does not. Alright? So that is really the primary difference. Okay, we'll stop here, inshallah, unless somebody has a question about what we... Yani he talked about na'at and man'ut. This is what we're going to deal with after the salat. We're going to come back. We're going to complete deal with this topic and look at the examples that they have given us after we pray, inshallah, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. I don't know. Allahu a'lam. Maybe. I mean, you can check. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa man wala wa ba'd. This is the second part of our 13th session for basic Arabic grammar. And before the Salat, we reviewed quickly what we covered. Abdul Halim? We reviewed quickly what we covered in the last couple of sessions. Yani specifically related to idalfa. Yani mudalf, mudalfa ilay. And also, what else did we cover? The feminine. Yeah, we dealt today with the feminine agenda, things related to femininity, and categories of nouns that are feminine, have feminine endings. Taramabuta, Alif Maksura, Alif Mamduda, and then other feminine nouns that are, they don't have a feminine ending, any indication, but they are feminine. Just before the break for Salat, we started to talk about the next topic, which is the Na'at and Man'ut. And just before we broke, we just introduced the topic and we explained some of the rules that have to be observed in reference to the Na'at and the Man'ut. And this topic has really not been explained in these notes, no explanation has been given except examples. Okay, so there are a number of examples. We're going to look at the examples. But before we look at the examples, I just want to make sure that we are clear on what is a Na'at and what is the Man'ut or Sifa and Mawsuf. And so if somebody can tell me, what are the things that we mentioned before the break for Salat? Number one, first thing, Abdurrahman.
Na'at and Man'ut has four conditions.
Okay, they have four conditions.
That must be met.
That must be met. Gender. Okay, gender.
Definite, indefinite.
Number, singular, dual, plural, an I'rab, case ending. Okay, so in other words, the Na'at must follow the Man'ut in these four things. These are things that are very, very important, in reference to nouns in general. But here, in reference to the relationship between the Na'at and the Man'ut, it's required that the Na'at, the adjective that's qualifying or describing a noun, it's required that it has to be in agreement with it. It has to follow it in each of these four matters. Okay, so it's incumbent upon us to know these four matters, to know what they are, what they mean, and how they work, so that we can be sure if we use a word to describe another word that it fulfills any of these conditions, or that it follows it in these four matters. All right? So when we say gender, we mean what? Masculine and feminine. We mean, if the word is mudhakkar, masculine, or mu'annath. Okay, we want to be sure that there's agreement here. And you can't have an adjective describing a noun that's masculine and you give a feminine adjective. Okay, so they have to be in agreement in gender. And they also have to be in agreement in being definite or indefinite. And I didn't say before the Salat, because we're just introducing the topic and we want to talk about it a little bit more now and look at the examples so that we can recognize and remember these things. But in reference to a noun being definite or indefinite and the adjective must agree with it, we have to know that a noun may be definite in different ways. Yani, a noun being definite doesn't mean that it always has alif lam. But what we're saying is, if it's definite by any way whatsoever, the adjective describing it also has to be definite. And sometimes the word that's definite is definite because of the category or type of word it is. It doesn't have alif lam, but for example, a proper noun, right? Like a man's name, like Muhammad, right? Muhammad. Okay, it's a proper noun, so it's definite. It doesn't have alif lam. But now if you describe it with an adjective, the adjective also has to be definite. That adjective may have to take alif lam. Okay, because that definite, the adjective, maybe it's not a proper noun, so it has to take alif lam to be definite. So now you have a noun that doesn't have alif lam being described by a noun that must have alif lam. Why? Because this one is definite without alif lam. And this one is not definite without alif lam, so you have to have alif lam. So just the point here is that we want to emphasize is that they have to be in agreement in being definite or indefinite. And being definite may mean it has alif lam, or it may mean otherwise. Maybe another way it's definite. It could be definite, as I mentioned now, because it's a proper noun. It could be definite, even though it's not a proper noun. But maybe it could be an idhafa, and it's connected to a noun that's definite. Okay, it's connected to a noun that's definite, so that makes it definite also. So in that case, still also, the adjective will have to be made definite in some way, either by alif lam or whatever means are necessary. Okay, the third thing that we said, it has to agree with it and follow it in. Do you have a question about definite and indefinite? Okay, the third thing is what? Number. Okay, when we say number, the adad, it could be mufrad, singular, or it could be muthanna, which is dual, or it could be jama', plural. Okay, so in Arabic, a noun is either singular, dual, or plural. In English, we have singular and plural, right? But in Arabic, we have singular, dual, and plural. So, for example, if you have a noun, right, that's singular, like al-Muslim. Huh? Al-Muslim, al-Kabir. Al-Muslimu, al-Kabiru. The great Muslim. Or the big Muslim. Or the old Muslim. Yani kabir can mean old also. Kabir is sin. Now, kabir in age, right? So, al-Muslim, al-Kabiru. So, al-Muslim here, it is singular. So, the adjective describing it has to be singular, al-Kabiru. But what if we said two great Muslims? We'll say al-Musliman, al-Kabiran. Okay, so Musliman is dual, so the adjective also has to be dual, Kabiran. If it was plural, we said al-Muslimuna. Al-Muslimuna, plural. So the adjective would be what? Al-what? Al-Akbar? Al-Kabiruna? Al-Kabiruna? What's the plural of Kabir? Huh? Kibar. Kibar, Kibar. So we say Al-Muslimuna Al-Kibaru. Al-Muslimuna Al-Kibaru. Okay, so the point is what? That Al-Muslim, if it's singular, the adjective has to be singular. Like if it's dual, it has to be dual. If it's plural, it has to be plural. And likewise, yani, we said first, yani, in gender, masculine and feminine. So if the word, yani, we're describing is masculine, Al-Muslim, then the adjective is going to be also, yani, masculine, Al-Kabir. But what if we had the man'ut is Al-Muslimatu, Al-Muslimatu, feminine. So the adjective now has to be feminine, right? So we're going to change it to Al-Muslimatu, Al-Kabiratu, Al-Kabiratu. And we said that we can change an adjective from masculine to feminine just by adding ta, marbuta. And when we change it, just as a reminder to us, when we change this adjective, kabirun, to feminine, then we're going to add ta marbuta, right? But what else do we have to do? Tanween. We have to take off the tanween because tanween can only be on the last letter of a word. It can only be on the last letter of a word. So we have to take off the tanween and we have to move it over, transfer it to the end of the word. And when we transfer it to the end of the word, right, now we have no vowel left here. So what vowel shall we put here? What if it's marfu'un? What vowel shall we put here? If the word is marfu'un, what vowel shall we put here? Fatha? Fatha for marfu'un? Huh? Huh? We have to use fatha. Why we have to use fatha? Why? What's like making us use fatha? Because ta marbuta is always preceded by fatha. The vowel on the letter before ta marbuta is always fatha. Has nothing to do with it's marfu'un or mansub or majrur. That was just a wake-up question. To wake you up in case you're sleeping. Right? It has nothing to do with being marfu'un. It has something to do with what? It's the letter preceding ta marbuta is always fatha. It's always fatha. And the case ending for the i'rab of a word is never on the next to the last letter. It's always on the last letter. Right? Alright. Alhamdulillah. So pretty much we are awake for the most part. Couple of sleepers here, but we'll wake you up. We got a couple more of these questions. That'll wake you up. Alright. So that's for gender, right? Al-Muslima tu al-Kabiratu. Okay, as far as the case ending, so we said al-Muslimu al-Kabiru. But what if we said yani al-Baytu al-Kabiru, right? But now we put a preposition before it. So we say ila al-Bayti al-Kabiri. Ila al-Bayti al-Kabiri. Okay, so in this case, yani we have to remember that yani because of the preposition ila, so here bait became kasra, and then the adjective also has to have kasra. من البيت الكبير إلى المسجد الكبير إلى من فوق. And that فوق is not a preposition, right? But فوق, يعني the word after still will be مجرور, right? Because what? Because مضاف إليه. Alright, so we have to pay attention to these four things in reference to the adjective. As we look at these examples, let's try to see if we can remember the four things that they have to be in agreement with. Yani, in terms of it being masculine or feminine, in terms of it being yani, definite or indefinite, singular, dual, or plural, and yani, marfu'un or mansub or majrur. Tayyib, any question about adjectives? Any question about the adjectives? Tayyib. Let's look at the examples. Page 19. Some examples of adjectives. Page 19. Some examples of adjectives. Okay, the first examples are relatively simple, and then after that, we get a little more work to do. Be a little bit more careful as we go further, right? Okay, let's go from right to left. Well, look, first at the top of the page, some examples of adjectives. Please analyze them carefully and try to figure out the na'tun wa man'utun and then translate them into English. Okay, and then translate them into English. Figure out what is the na't and what is the man'ut and then translate it into English. Okay, from right to left, the first one, somebody read it and tell us what's the meaning of the sentence and tell us what's the na'at and the man'ut. Faiz. Al-waladu al-hasanu. Okay. Al-waladu al-hasanu. Okay, what is the meaning of this? The nice boy. Okay, that's possible. The nice boy. Any other meaning we could give to it? Hasan, good. Okay, maybe. What else? Anything else? Okay. Handsome boy. All right. So al-waladu al-hasanu, right? Okay. Where's the na'at and where's the man'ut? Al-waladu is the man'ut. Is the man'ut. And al-hasanu is the na'at. How can you be sure that al-hasanu is the na'at? How can you be sure that not that it is a na'at, that it is the knot in this expression, in this particular expression? How can you be sure that this is the knot and not al-walad? Naam, Abu Bakr, huh? Oh, okay, because it follows, huh? Okay, because it follows. So the one that follows is always the knot? So, huh? The man'ut has to come first. The knot can't come before the man'ut. The na'at cannot come before the man'ut. Cannot come before it. Right? Because we said that the na'at must follow the man'ut in the order of the sentence as well as it must follow in those four things. It has to come after it. It can't go before it. Can't go before it. Alright? So, he said this is the man'ut and this is the na'at. Okay. Show me where it is in agreement in four things. Show me. It's in agreement in four things. Where? In what? Somebody. First thing. It's in agreement in what? Mustafa.
They're both definite.
Al-waladu al-hasanu. Naam. Abdurrahman. Case ending. Al-waladu dhamma. Al-hasanu dhamma. What else? Gender. Abu Bakr.
Gender.
Engender. Al-waladu is what? It's masculine. And al-hasanu? Mudhakkar, masculine. Naam, ashkurullah. And in number, al-waladu is what? What is this? It's singular, mufrad. And al-hasanu is also singular, mufrad. Okay, second example, going across. The second example, going across, Abu Bakr.
Muhammadun
al-hasanu. Naam, okay, let's look at this one a little bit. Huh? Muhammadun al-hasanu. Al-Hasanu. Muhammadun al-Hasanu. What is the meaning?
Muhammad is good.
Okay, is it a sentence? Muhammad is good? Muhammad the good. Huh? Muhammad the good. Or the good Muhammad. The good Muhammad. The good Muhammad. Or the handsome Muhammad. Al-Hasan. Naam. Okay. Where's the Naat and where's the Man'ut?
Muhammadun is the
Man'ut.
And Al-Hasanu is the Naat.
And Al-Hasanu is the Naat. It follows it. That means the one that comes first has to be the Man'ut. Because the Naat has to come after it. Okay? Where is it in agreement? In reference to the gender. Muhammad is Muzakkar. It's a masculine proper noun. And? Al-Hasan is also Muzakkar. It's an adjective. It doesn't have Tarmabut or any of the signs of femininity. And it doesn't come under other categories. It is Muzakkar. Okay? As far as the definite and indefinite, how are they in agreement? Al-Hasanu has Alif Lam. Muhammad does not. Muhammad has Tanween. Muhammadun. Al-Hasanu. And didn't we say that the Naat must be in agreement with the Man'ut. The Man'ut here has Tanween. And the Naat has Alif Lam. Huh? Slow down. We don't want nobody jumping off the boat, the bus, or the bridge. Don't jump off anything. Huh? Just keep it level-headed. Okay? Slow down. Abdul Halim. Yeah, Muhammadun, even though it has Tanween, it's not indefinite. It's definite. Because it's what? It's a proper noun. And proper nouns are all definite. Masculine proper nouns take Tanween. Feminine proper nouns don't take Tanween. That's our general rule. So even though it has Tanween, we have to remember, not every word that has Tanween is indefinite. There are some words that have Tanween that are definite. Proper nouns, masculine proper nouns take Tanween, but they are definite. So Muhammad is definite. And Al-Hasan is also definite, so they are in agreement. Okay, they are in agreement here. As far as in number, Muhammad is singular, Al-Hasan is singular. As far as in I'rab, the I'rab of Muhammad is what? Huh? No, that's the sign. The Dhamma is the sign. It's marfu'un. Muhammad is marfu'un. The sign that is marfu'un is Dhamma. And Al-Hasan is also marfu'un. The sign that is marfu'un is Dhamma. Yani, of course, Muhammadun, it has Dhamma 10. Two Dhammas. That's because it doesn't have Alif Lam. And Al-Hasan has only a single Dhamma because it already has Alif Lam. It can't take Alif Lam and Tanween, right? Even though this one has two Dhammas and this one has one Dhamma, we're not concerned about how many Dhammas. We're concerned about if it has Dhamma or Kesra or Fatha. Doesn't matter if it's two Dhammas or two Kesras or two Fatha. The important thing is, does it have Dhamma or Kesra or Fatha? Okay, it has Dhamma, it has Dhamma. The I'rab is determined by its vowel. In this case, the primary sign of I'rab is determined by the vowel. Is it Dhamma or Kesra or Fatha? So here, they are in agreement. Okay, going down underneath Al-Walad Al-Hasanu, we have what? Naam, Ashkurullah.
Waladun Hasan.
Okay, now we have Waladun Hasanun. Waladun Hasanun. What is the meaning?
Slow down.
Let him try this one first. We'll give him some help if he needs help. What is the meaning of Waladun Hasanun?
A boy, a good.
Okay, a good boy. A good boy. In English, you have to put the adjective, alright? But in English, when we speak English, we have to speak backwards, okay? When we go from Arabic to English, we have to remember we have to go backwards now, okay? Right now, we're going good. Waladun Hasanun. Now we go to English, flip it backwards, okay? Yani, a good boy. A boy? What about the boy? A good boy. A good boy, okay? Before we had al-waladu, al-hasanu. Now we have waladun hasanu. What's the difference between them? Huh? The first one was definite, and this one is indefinite. When al-waladu was definite, the adjective describing it has to agree with it and be definite. Now when we came with waladun indefinite, the adjective describing it also has to be what? Indefinite. Okay, they're both agreeing in number, singular, in gender, masculine, indefinite and indefinite, indefinite, and they're also agreeing in I'rab. What is the I'rab of Hasanun here? It's marfu'un. And what's the sign that is marfu'un is Dhamma. It has Dhamma 10, no, but the sign that is marfu'un is Dhamma. Naam, yes, Sharif.
Ask one question.
I didn't give you permission yet to ask a question. He's my old friend, so we can talk like that. Now, okay, now you have permission. Okay, what if it was Al-Waladu Hasanun, right? If we changed it, instead of it being indefinite, we said Al-Waladu, without tanween, right? Single vowel, Al-Waladu Hasanun. So now, since they're not in agreement, this is indefinite and this is definite, since they're not in agreement, this can't be a not. No, it's not a not anymore. But it's a complete sentence. This is Mubtada and this is Khabar. Yeah, this is the subject and this is the predicate. Now, instead of saying a good boy, the meaning of it is what? The boy is good. Thank you for that question. If I had thought of it myself, I would be feeling good about it. But you thought of it, so now what do I do? Okay, alhamdulillah. Okay, I get it. Thank you. Look at this. See? Old folks, brother, mashallah. The old people, they have a lot of stuff with them, you know? Good stuff, right? Good stuff, mashallah. Jazakallah khair. That's what we want to do. We want to, yani, work together. We want to help each other. If I forget something, you have to remind me, okay? Alright, tayyib, jayyid. Next example. Allahu al-azimu. I don't want to use this pen. Allahu al-Azim. Okay, what is the meaning of this? Somebody. Huh?
Allah,
Allah is the great?
Mighty.
Oh. Oh, Allah the great. Okay. Any other way we can translate it? The Most High, okay, it's possible. The Magnificent? Allah the Magnificent? Yani Al-Azim, that's a difficult word to translate. If you look in the dictionary, it has about 27 or 29 different meanings. So which one are we going to use? And it depends on the context. Sometimes you might translate it differently. Magnificent, great, mighty, grand. You know, actually there's a good word that I like, yani, for it, because it combines all of those meanings. The Supreme. Allah the Supreme. You can say the Magnificent, the Mighty, the Magnificent, any of these words, the Majestic, all of these words are from the meanings of Azim. Tayyib, so the Naat and the Man'ut. The Naat and the Man'ut, which one? Where's the Naat? Al-Azim. It can't come first, right? The Naat has to be following Al-Azim. And they are in agreement? They are in agreement in what? What are they in agreement in? Give me one thing they're in agreement in. Ma'rifah. They're both Ma'rifah. Al-Azim is Ma'rifah, it's definite. And the love of the Jalala, it is Ma'rifah. And from more than one perspective. The clearest perspective that there's no doubt about is that it's a proper noun. It's a proper noun. Allah. The proper name of the creator of the heavens and the earth, first and foremost, is Allah. Allah, naam. And what else are they in agreement in? They're both masculine. Mudhakkar. Mudhakkar, mudhakkar. Also? I'rab. Marfu'un, marfu'un. And finally? Singular. Yani Allah is always singular, right? There's no Allahs. We don't have that. They have that in the church and in the Buddhist temples and the pagan worshippers all over the earth, right? Allah is singular. Allah is unique. Allah is one. Al-Wahid, Al-Ahad, Al-Wahid. Naam. Fayyib, after this, next one, somebody read it. The third one, the third line from the right side, Abdul Halim. Siratum mustaqimun. What is the meaning? The straight path?
A straight path.
Naam. فَإِنَّكَ تَحْتِي إِلَى صِرَاتٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. What is the meaning? A straight path. Naam. طيب, where's the na'at? Mustaqim. What does mustaqim mean? Straight. Upright, and correct, naam, the straight, a straight path, sirat, means a path. What's another word for path or way? Tariq. And another one? Fi sabilillah. Right? Sabil, tariq, yani sirat. So here we have what? We have another adjective here, mustaqim, siratum, mustaqimun. They're in agreement in being singular. They're in agreement in being masculine. They're in agreement in being indefinite. And they're in agreement in being i'rab, marfu'un. Next example, going across. Going across. Somebody, Abdul Karim? Naam, ar-rasulu al-kareemu. Ar-rasulu al-kareemu, meaning? The noble messenger. The noble messenger. The adjective here is noble, al-kareem. It's describing the messenger. What about him? The noble messenger. He's noble. And they're in agreement in being masculine, and being singular, and being definite, and in being marfu'un. Okay, the next one. From the right column, somebody, Abu Bakr? Jayid, is this a complete sentence or not? Huh? Naam? Do I have somebody saying no, or are you just saying naam? Oh, naam. Okay, naam. Is anybody saying la, it's not a sentence? Okay, you say it's a sentence. Fine. You say it's not? Okay, who says it's a sentence? What is your proof that it's a sentence? How can you say yes, it's definitely a sentence because what? Okay, Hamidun is a proper noun, so that means it's a sentence? And what? And what's the Mubtada and Khabar? Hamid is a mubtada, and where's the khabar? Rajulun is a badal? It says Hamidun Rajulun Tayyibun. What is Tayyibun here? Tayyibun is the khabar? So it can't be saying Hamidun is a man. Rajulun can't be an adjective describing Hamid. He is a man. He is a Hamid. Hamidun waladun. That's describing him, right? Hamidun is a boy. Hamidun rajulun. That's also adjective describing Hamid. He's a man. Hamidun imamun. Hamidun is the imam. Hamidun mudarrisun. All of those are adjectives describing Hamid. Why can't Rajulun be an adjective describing Hamid? Why can't it be?
Rajulun is the
noun. Okay, so you're saying Tayyib is the adjective describing it? Is Tayyib a noun?
No.
It's not a noun?
Tayyib is an adjective describing
Rajulun. I mean, if you say Rajulun is the na'at and Tayyibun is the na'at, it's not in agreement with Hamid.
So that means that what he's saying, listen to what he's saying here, very, very important. Listen to what he's saying. What he said, we said, Hamidun Rajulun Tayyibun. Hamidun is definite. Rajulun is what? Indefinite. Tayyibun is what? Can either of them, indefinite words, be a not to describe a definite word, Hamid?
No.
So neither one of them are an adjective for Hamid. Rather, Hamidun is a mubtada, and Rajulun is the khabar. And Tayyibun is a not describing Rajulun. Is it clear now? Okay, you see, sometimes you have to really try to be careful. Our subject that we're talking about here is Naat and Man'ut, right? So now, if we have Hamidun, it's definite. There can't be a not describing it that's indefinite. And both of the words that came after Hamid are both indefinite. So there can't be a not. That means we don't have a not and man'ut with Hamid. But we have Mubtada and Khabar. And then we have a not describing the Khabar. The Khabar is indefinite. Yani Rajulun. And طيبٌ is a not, that's indefinite describing it. Okay, حامدٌ is مبتدأ, رجلٌ is خبر, not a not. And طيبٌ is a not, but not for حامد, it's a not for رجلٌ, because both of them are indefinite. حامد is definite. I hope that that's clear. That's a very important point. The brother, he explained it with proof that can't be denied. And what's the proof that can't be that? حامد is definite. Rajulun is indefinite. Tayyibun is indefinite. Khalas, they can't be. Neither of them can be a not. Fahamidun. Okay? Jazakallah khair. MashaAllah. This is good. Yani, this is. Yani, they said, please analyze them carefully. This is what we're talking about. Let's analyze it carefully according to the rules. The purpose of these examples is what? To make the rules stick in our mind. As we analyze these examples, these rules should stick in our mind. Okay. Naam. Hamidun is a good man. Going across. Next one. Somebody read it. Somebody read it. Next one. Fadl.
Hamidun al-alimu rajulun tayyibun.
Hamidun. Say it to me again. Hamidun.
Al-alimu.
Hamidun. Al-alimu.
Rajulun.
Al-alimu. Uh-huh. Rajulun. Rajulun tayyibun. Okay. Somebody tell me, what's the meaning of this sentence? What's the meaning of this sentence? Now.
Hamid the scholar
is a good man. Now, as opposed to the previous sentence, Hamid, which is definite, does have an adjective. But the adjective is, guess what? Definite. Now this could be an adjective for Hamid, because it's definite. Hamidun al-alimu. Hamid the scholar. Rajulun tayyibun. Man'ut and not. This is a not describing Rajulun. Tayyibun is describing Rajulun. Al-alimu is a not describing Hamidun. Definite, definite. Indefinite, indefinite. Rajulun tayyibun. Both of them are indefinite. Hamidun al-alimu, both of them are definite. Both of these are indefinite, okay? So we have here the mubtada Hamid. Where's the khabar in this sentence? Be careful, be careful. Where's the khabar in the sentence? Hamidun al-alimu rajulun tayyibun. Where's the khabar? Now, do Kareem. Rajulun is the khabar. Hamidun is the mubtada and rajulun is the khabar. So the origin of this sentence is Hamid is a man. Now I'm describing Hamid. This is just a description of Hamid. But the Mubtada is Hamid and the Khabar is Rajulun. As far as Alim, this is a not describing Hamid, the Mubtada. And as far as Tayyib, this is just a not describing the Khabar Rajulun. Alright? So we have a lot of words here, but the Mubtada is Hamid. And what we want to say about Hamid? He's a man. What kind of man? Tayyib. Naam, two nats and two man'ut here. Okay? This one is clearly indefinite, rajulun and tayyibun. This nat is definite with al, alif lam, ta'rif, and hamid is also definite. Why? Because the proper noun. What do we mean by a proper noun? The name of a person or a place. Yani, a proper noun, a person's name, a masculine proper noun. Feminine proper noun could be the name of a city or country. Yani, proper nouns are all definite, even if they don't have alif lam. Some proper nouns have alif lam. Some of them don't. Naam. Like al-Iraq, right? Al-Iraq, that's the name of a country. It has alif lam. As-Sudan. Huh? Al-Hasanu? That's the name of a place?
No, proper name.
Oh, proper name. Al-Hasanu. Oh, okay. Yeah, he's saying, okay, al-Hasanu is the name of a person. It has alif lam. Okay, so some proper nouns have alif lam, some don't. Some don't. Al Hassan does. Al Hussein does. Huh? I'm saying that Hamidun is a man'ut. And what else? An alim is a not. Describing it, yes. None. Yeah, quite often, yani, frequently, most of the time, the mubtada is definite, but it doesn't have to be definite. But mostly it is. And if so, then the khabar is generally indefinite. But it doesn't have to be also, but yes, that's the most common. Okay, after this, Hamidun Rajulun Tayyibun, Hamidun Al-Alam Al-Rajul. Okay, the next one, 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth line in the right column, Nasir. نعم ولد المعلم الصالح يعني ولد المعلم الصالح okay ولد المعلم الصالح ولد المعلم الصالح الصالح okay we have ولد with ضمة Al-Mu'allimi with Kasra and As-Salihu with Dhamma. Okay, where's the Mubtada and where's the Khabar in this sentence? Where's the Mubtada? Where is the Mubtada? Waladu. Waladu. Where's the Khabar? Huh? As-Salihu. He says is the Khabar. So what is this then? Mu'allimu. Al-Mu'allimi is the Khabar? This is Mudaf. Mudafan ilayhi. This is the Mubtada, this is Mudaf Ilay, this is Khabar. Tayyib. Here, right, we see that this word has Kasra, this word has Dhamma, and this is an indication of what? This is an indication that there's some relation between them. How this became Kasra? Because Mudaf Ilayhi Majroor. Mubtada is Marfu'un, Khabar is Marfu'un. What is the meaning of Walad Al Mu'allimi? The Muallim's son or the son of the Muallim? What does Muallim mean? The Muallim's son or the son of the Muallim? What does Muallim mean? The teacher. The son of the teacher of the Muallim. The son of the teacher. Naam. Tayyib, the next one. Somebody read the next one. Going across. The Na'at and the Man'ut. As-Salih is a Na'at. Describing what? Describing Waladun. As-Sali is the Na'at. Dhamma, Dhamma. Definite, definite. This is definite with Alif Lam. How is this definite? Because it's connected to a word in Idhafa that's definite. Okay, this is masculine, masculine, definite, definite, marfu'un, marfu'un, singular, singular. Jazakallahu khair Abu Bakr. Waladu al-Mu'allimi as-Salih. Meaning, the righteous son of the teacher. The righteous son. Okay? Next one. Naam, somebody who didn't read. Naam, Abdul Karim. Waladu al-Mu'allimi. Waladu, this is almost the same sentence, right? Al-Mu'allimi. Al-what? As-Salihi. Okay, waladu al-Mu'allimi. As-Salihi. Okay, what's the difference in this sentence, this one and the last one? The difference is that As-Salih, now it is Majroor, which tells us what? It's telling us that it's not a Na'at for Walad here, like it was here. It can't be, because Walad is Marfu'un and Salihu is Majroor. So if Waladun is Marfu' and As-Salih is Majroor, that means it's not like it was here. This is a not describing Walad. This is not a not describing Walad. It's a not describing what? Mu'allimi as-salihi. Okay, so these endings on the words are very important. They give us hints and indications of what's connected to what. Alright? So please pay attention carefully when you're reading. Look at the endings of the words. When you're writing, when you're speaking, pay attention to the endings of the words. Next one. Naam, Fadl, go ahead. Oh, the translation? What is the translation of Waladu al-Mu'allimi as-Salihi? The righteous teacher's boy. Or the son of the righteous teacher. Okay, you could translate it two ways, but it's for in terms of it being clear, Waladu, the first one before that, Waladu al-Mu'allimi as-Sali, means the righteous son of the teacher. And this one means the son of the righteous teacher. Yani in the previous one, the righteous was the adjective describing the son, and here righteous adjective describing the teacher. Waladu al-mu'allimi as-salihi, the righteous teacher. Okay, next one. Walid is definite, yeah. Walid is definite here. So, as-salih could be yani an adjective for it, except that what? As-salih doesn't agree in I'rab. It agrees with al-mu'allimi in I'rab. Next one. Naam, read. Naam, Ibn Hamidin as-sadiqu. What is the meaning? The son of Hamid is truthful? Yani as-sadiq, what is the i'rab of sadiq here? Is it a khabar or is it a na'at? Sadiq, he says, is a na'at. A na'at describing what? Describing Ibn. Okay, if sadiq is a na'at describing Ibn, how will we translate this? The truthful son of Hamid. As-sadiq is a na'at describing Ibn. As-sadiq is marfu'un and Ibn is marfu'un. As-sadiq is masculine, Ibn is masculine. As-sadiq is definite, and Ibn, is it definite?
Yeah.
It's definite. Why? How is it definite? Because it's an idafa to Hamidin. Even though Hamid has tanween, it's definite because it's a proper noun. So it makes Ibn definite. Okay, how do we know that as-sadiq is not a not describing Hamid? Because Hamid is majrur with kasra. And as-sadiq is marfu'un with dhamma. Alright? So the case endings should be examined carefully when everything else is in agreement. Alright? The truthful son of Hamid. Okay, going across. Ibn Hamidin as-Sadiqi. Ibn Hamidin as-Sadiqi. What is the meaning? What is the meaning?
The son of the truthful Hamid.
Okay, here the truthful is an adjective describing Hamid, not son. How do we know it's not describing son here? Because Ibn is marfu'un and as-sadiqi here is majrur with kasra. So it's describing Hamid, which is also majrur with kasra. Naam. Ibn Hamidin as-sadiqi. Yani, the son of the truthful Hamid. Okay, going down to the next line. Who's reading? I hear somebody. Read loud. Read a little bit louder.
Baytuna
al-Jadidu. Baytuna al-Jadidu. What's the meaning? Anybody?
Our
new house. Baytuna, our house. Our new house. Yani? So we're saying that new here is an adjective describing bait, right? Is new in agreement with it in all four cases? Is it masculine with bait?
No.
Is it definite with bait?
No.
Bait is definite? How is bait definite? Doesn't have any aleph lam.
Right.
It's an idafa to what?
Nah.
To nah. So that makes it definite?
No.
Okay, but we're not talking about al-jadidu yet. Al-jadidu is definite for sure. But we want to know about bait. How, if al-jadid is a not describing bait, bait has to be definite. So we're just like trying to figure it out, right?
No.
So what makes bait? He's saying because it's connected to nah. Yeah. Yeah, we got huh? Oh, nahnu. Nah is definite. Like, what makes it definite? Because all pronouns are definite. Because all pronouns are definite. Remember, we had a lesson 3 weeks ago on pronouns. We said all pronouns are definite. So if na, baytuna, na is a pronoun, a connected pronoun, right? And pronouns are definite, so it makes bait definite. So then that case, al-jadid, can be an adjective describing bait because it's definite. Because al-jadid is definite, but bait is also definite. And al-jadid is marfu'un. And the pronoun na, can it be an adjective describing na? And it's marfu'un, al-jadid, or it cannot be? Yani, can al-jadid, being marfu'un, can it be an adjective describing the pronoun na? Since pronoun na is pronoun is definite, right? So why can't al jadid be an adjective describing na? This is a good question here. I think. I don't know if you do. Look, we have this word. Look. Baytuna. Al-Jadid. He said that it could be. Okay, that's good. I like that. Baytuna al-Jadid. Al-Jadidu, right? So we originally said that al-Jadidu is an adjective describing bait. Both of them are marfu'un, and both of them are definite, and both of them are masculine, and both of them are singular. Now he's saying it could even be a adjective describing the pronoun na, meaning nahnu. It could be a pronoun describing na. And who said, no, it can't be a pronoun describing na? Because we just said it's an adjective. We just said it's an adjective describing bait. So how can it be an adjective describing the pronoun na? Yani, it's definite, both of them are definite, right? And both of them are... Yani, we don't know if they're both masculine, because na is... It could be masculine or feminine, right? Okay, let's say it's masculine, just for the sake of argument. Who says that it cannot be an adjective to describe the pronoun na? But if you say it cannot be, you have to bring dalil. Okay, Mustafa, he's saying firmly, it cannot be. Yani... Because na is plural and jadid is singular. That's one dalil that's strong, right? They have to be in agreement in number. We have any other dalil?
No.
Let's bring more dalil so we could pile it up and just shut down the people who are saying something different. What's the other evidence?
It's our house, he said, is an idafa.
So what does that mean?
So that means that if it's an idafa,
Jadid is marfu'un. So what about this? The mudafu ilayh should be what? In the place where it's majroor. Yani fi mahalli jar. So it's mabniun fi mahalli jar. Majroor. And this is marfu'un. So they can't agree here either. Alright? So these are two strong evidences that say al jadid, it cannot be a not describing this pronoun. This pronoun is plural, this pronoun is in the place of majroor, and this is singular, and it's marfu'un. So they can't go together. We can't do that. Okay? What? Is that time right? It's past 2:30. That's it. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Huh? What happened?
2:40.
Yeah, it's too late. Nobody's watching the time. Okay, it was just like getting good, right? Okay, next week, inshallah. Okay, go over the rest of the examples here on this page and the following page. Just start reading through them. For the next class, we'll finish these, and then we'll look at the references, the exercises for adjectives, translate into Arabic. Yani, on page 30, or what's that, page 20? On the next page, if you can try to translate some of them, try to write some of them out before you come to class next week. And the next week we'll go through them, and if we still have some time left, we'll look at references from the Quran for adjectives. So we're going to like finish page 19, we're going to try to work on page 20, and if we finish it, 21. So try to preview whatever comes up after this, these three pages, 20, 21, and I mean 19, 20, and 21. And inshallah, come yani next week prepared. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Okay, we're not going to have a break. We're just going to give the people who are leaving a chance to leave, and the people who are coming a chance to come, and then we're going to start immediately with fiqh, the fiqh for Mustawa Thani.